Warning, the podcast you are about to listen to contains explicit language not appropriate for young ears. We're sorry, we get overly excited. I just want to let you know ahead of time. With that being said, here we go.
Straight off the pages of thescrumsports.com and into your ear holes, it's the Scrum Sports Unfiltered with your hosts, Trevor Grout and the bald and beautiful Brooks Rowland.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Scrum Sports Unfiltered. You like that?
Not bad. I mean, I was a little caught off guard by the echo effect, but I love the new name, not gonna lie. The new name is fantastic.
Well, and once again, that's the voice of the bald, the beautiful Brooks Rowland. That fucking asshole. Yes!
Yep, that's me.
That's why we are now the Scrum Sports Unfiltered.
That way you've got one fucking asshole calling the other guy a fucking asshole, and we can both agree that we're just a couple of fucking assholes with an unfiltered show.
With a great cartoon logo.
Yeah, I love that the caricature, by the way. Fantastic.
It really captures your baldness.
Yeah, and it's like post-shave baldness, too. That's what I like about it. It's not the baldness from when I've gone 5 or 6 days without shaving my head. It's like right after. It's nice and smooth, and it looks fantastic. And the best part, I even mentioned this on social media, there's no gray hairs in my beard.
I'm working on that, actually.
I know. I kind of figured it'd be more realistic, but I kind of like the fact that the caricature has no gray hairs.
You ask, you shall receive. But yeah, if you can tell, we're going to say what we want to say, when we want to say it, while still being professional.
About as professional as you and I can get in an unfiltered setting.
Very true. I mean, most of our careers in radio or podcasting, we've kind of towed that line and tried to be, you know, very clean, very... You know, and we're not going to just throw the F-bomb or the A-bomb or the S-bomb or the B-bomb or all the other bombs. You know, we're not North Korea. We're not going to be dropping bombs. But we wanted to do a show, make it known it's completely unfiltered without kind of feeling bad on the occasional when we do drop it.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we're not going to just swear for 30 minutes straight. Even though, you know,
I mean, it depends on how angry you get.
Well, yeah, this is true. I mean, it depends on if anything, you know, irks me or draws my ire. But, you know, for the most part, if one slips out, it slips out. It happens. I mean, the point I'm trying to make is
shit.
Yeah, exactly. It's not going to be 30 straight minutes of that.
Ass.
Fuck.
Balls. Sweaty. Balls.
And we forgot to say earmuffs beforehand.
We did. No, there's the warning.
Oh, fair enough.
We have the warning before the show.
That's very true. We do have the warning. So, yeah, forget it. We don't need to say earmuffs at all. Because if you missed out on the warning and you're still listening and you're complaining about the occasional swearing, yeah, that's on you.
Once again, we made the warning very clear. Want to thank our buddy Joe Olliger with Anchorhead Multimedia for getting us a new intro very quickly. Also want to thank my buddy Robert Melendez for knocking out that awesome logo. You can find him on Twitter at ConceptArt76. And you can find Joe on Twitter at Joey_Flash. And you know what? If you like the song Waiting to Tell You, which is our intro, our theme, hit them up on online. The letter I, the letter M, the number one, band.bandcamp.com. I'm not going to lie, on my way home from work today, I was actually jamming to their music.
It's very catchy.
It is.
It's heavy enough without being too heavy for you know, people that may not like really, really heavy stuff, but it's very fast, it's very catchy, and I enjoy it, not gonna lie. I think Joe does a great job with his band. He's got some good music, and you know, I'd look forward to hearing more stuff that he, you know, maybe he'll eventually put out there.
No, it so as great as those two guys are, and I love them both dearly, they're brothers. Let's get to what everybody wants to talk about. Sports. This week, you know, we would talk some Lightning, but there's really...
It's August.
It's August. I mean, we're a few weeks away from training camp. We're like 58 days away from the home opener, 57 days, some random number as of this recording.
I only know that because we've been seeing the Jake Dotchin posts with his jersey number saying 59 days, and that was a few days back. So that's the only reason why I know how many days... Until the home opener against the Florida Panthers.
You know, I'm not going to lie. That's actually the exact same reason I know.
And the Lightning will do that every few days. You know, whoever's numerically next on the roster, you'll see them featured as the as however many days it is until the season opener. But in the meantime, being that it's August, while it's the dead time for the NHL, that means preseason football has just begun in the National Football League.
It has. And your Tampa Bay Buccaneers started off their preseason against a familiar foe, obviously, but started off their preseason with a nice little win.
Yeah, 26-24 against the Miami Dolphins down in Miami. And it was, you know, it's preseason. You don't want to get too excited. You don't want to get too...
I hate those damn fans that if their team loses in the preseason, they're automatically, oh, they suck! Oh, God, my team sucks so much! Dude, the first stringers played one fucking series. Earmuffs.
Or how about the people that are like, oh, my God, this is the best quarterback ever. They looked so amazing. Holy shit.
I'm talking
to you, Cleveland Browns fans, because half my Twitter was blowing up with people talking about Baker Mayfield.
I saw his highlights.
And he looked good.
He looked, compared to some of the other rookies out there, he looked very poised in the pocket.
At the same time, though, let's temper the expectations a bit. It's only one preseason game.
The other thing I hate, your kicker missed a field goal and an extra point. Oh, no, we need to release him. We need to get rid of him.
I mean, they've had...
The Bucs have had bad luck. Okay, I understand that one. Okay, I do understand that one a little bit.
Yeah, people are, like, you say missed field goals around here, and people just start getting skittish. They get on their edge. They start having, like, these panic attacks and flashbacks.
You guys want to hear Brooks roll and freak out? Hey, Brooks, Roberto Aguayo.
Okay. Yeah. I had to get out of my system.
He's not even in football. He's probably bagging groceries at the Piggly Wiggly right now.
Maybe he got lucky and he's selling insurance.
You mean like Carnell Williams?
Is that what he's up to now?
Yeah.
No shit.
He has an insurance agency.
No kidding. I did not know that. Good for him.
Good for him.
Good for him.
I mean, he's not Michael Clayton, you know, on, you know, Channel 10 every morning.
But hey, I mean, he's you know, got himself a post-football life, post-football gig. Good for him.
Yes. Chandler Catanzaro missed a field goal and missed an extra point. He's looked good in practice. He didn't miss, as far as I know, a single extra point all of last season in 2017. Guys, not every kicker is perfect. I mean, hell, even Sebastian Janikowski in his good years missed a few here and there. The extra point is no longer a chip shot in the NFL.
No, it's not a gimme. And yeah, Catanzaro had that miss late against Miami in the fourth quarter. But you know what? He bounced back, ended up kicking the game winner just a few, basically several seconds after Miami had briefly taken the lead late in the game. But, you know, that's preseason football. You know, everybody's got to work out the kinks. Everybody's got to, you know, especially if you're the rookies, you got to get those jitters out of the way. And, you know, one thing that I was looking for with the opener was how well was this offensive line going to play? How well would the running game get going? Because let's face it, the O-line has just been decimated by injuries so far in the preseason.
Yes and no. I mean, Jensen's healthy.
I mean, Jensen...
Matt Marpet's healthy. Donovan Smith played last night.
The right side of the line has been banged up, though.
I mean, Alex Kappa got some time last night, but that was to be expected. DeMar Dotson was one of the non-dressed players.
As was Caleb Beninock.
As was Caleb Beninock. But, I mean, I'm not going to freak out over one damn preseason game. There's no point. I mean, let's be brass tacks here. Did the running game look good last night? No, not really. I mean, did they have a few good runs? Sure. I mean, your leading rusher for the Bucks was Peyton Barber with 4 carries for 21 yards, a touchdown for 5.13 average. And then Ronald Jones the second, had 8 rushes for 9 yards, 1 touchdown for 1.1 yards.
Yeah, and I mean, let's not put too much stock into the opening game. Yeah, you know, Rojo did have his struggles, you know,
he's not really a between the tackles kind of guy.
I mean, he is more of a speed guy, and I think that once he gets some more carries under him and once this offensive line, you know, can kind of find its way in the preseason, I think we'll see a little bit more out of Ronald Jones as the preseason goes on. I still don't expect him to be the week one starter, but I think that you'll see him get some more carries over the course of the rest of the preseason. And I think that, you know, we'll see him, I think, eventually grow. As long as he continues to learn the playbook, learn how to pass protect, learn how to be a weapon coming out of the backfield, catching the ball as well, he's going to bring some value. It's just that I don't think that we're going to see him put up huge numbers necessarily right away unless he's forced into a starting spot. Because right now, that top spot is really Peyton Barber's to lose for the time
being. And he earned it at the end of last season. Absolutely. I mean, he was the Bucs' leading rusher, undrafted. I believe it was out of Clemson or Auburn. Damn it, now I can't remember. Give me one second here. I hate being that guy. Hold on. I'm still here. Yep, Auburn. Ha ha!
There you go. Well, you said Auburn or Clemson, and we went with Auburn. You got it right. There you go.
Ha-ha! I am right. I am man. I am Trevor. Hear me roar. But no, Peyton Barber earned the starting job. Yes, the Bucks took a kicker high... Or, kicker. I was about to say took a kicker high in the second round, but that was a few years ago. And that was the biggest mistake Jason Light ever made.
Yeah, now we're having flashbacks again. Hold on. There you go. Get it out.
You know who actually looked good to me? Ryan Griffin.
Absolutely. I mean, if there's one thing I'm not really worried about at the moment, it's the passing game. I mean, I think all three quarterbacks looked really solid. I mean, they were, you know, going through their reads. They were putting the ball in the right place.
Didn't turn it over.
Yeah, no turnovers at all. I mean, Fitzpatrick looked good as the starter. Winston came in and was equally impressive. And then Griffin looked really good towards the end of the game. And, I mean, he led them on that drive that led to the game-winning field goal right after the Dolphins had just driven down the field and taken the lead on a touchdown. So, you know what? I like what I saw from the quarterbacks. I like what I saw from the receivers. I mean, let's face it. The wide receiving core on this team is probably the deepest group on this roster by a long shot.
You know what I really liked was seeing JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul, in the, was it Tannehill? Yeah, it was Tannehill's face toward the end of that last drive. You know, he was getting to the running back. He was getting in Tannehill's face. He was getting through the line. Anybody who says you need two great hands to play in the NFL, you're full of shit. And here's why. Here's why. Shaquem Griffin from the Seattle Seahawks. Did you hear about him last night?
No, I didn't catch.
Kid had a bunch of tackles early in the game.
He was a beast when he was at UCF.
He was the only good thing about UCF. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I'm sure we have UCF fans listening. You're not the national title holders.
Dude, I swear to God, if I see one more UCF National Champs merchandise or piece of merchandise, I'm going to lose my fucking mind. Like, they're not the national champs.
You want to incite, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to incite a Roland rage, wait till our next event. Show up in a UCF national champions shirt.
Or just wear a Florida Gator shirt, and that'll
now, piss me off. I don't know if Gators would do it as much as that, though.
Yeah, that's true. Fair enough.
Actually, wait. No, there is one thing. A Tim Tebow jersey.
Yeah, that's a bad flashback there. But you know what? The Gators have been... They struggled last year, and let's face it, Florida State's owned them. Hint, hint, wink, wink. So I'm not really as worried about them as I used to be. Just saying.
They're kind of back to rebuilding after McElwain.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see.
Urban Meyer kind of fucked him.
Oh, God, yeah, he did. Absolutely, he did.
I'm having heart problems. I'm having heart problems. But I'm going to coach Ohio State.
Well, how about, I think you saw the writing on the wall when Tebow left and was like, well, I'm not going to have Tebow around anymore. So I'm out of here. Bye, guys.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, I don't have Aaron Hernandez anymore.
or any number of players that he had when he was winning national titles with Florida. So
the brass tacks, ladies and gentlemen, the good, the bad, the ugly. The Bucks won their first preseason game against the Miami Dolphins. Was it all pretty? No, it's preseason. There's a small, minute amount of game planning for a preseason game. They're not doing detail-oriented game plans like they will against, you know, regular season opponents. And a lot of times, a lot of the things that are going on is timing. You know, a lot of these guys have not hit somebody wearing something other than a team jersey of theirs for the last 2 weeks. You know, they're not used to going 100% full contact. Because in training camp, there is a certain amount of limitations. There is some hitting, but not quite game hitting. So it's going to take those three or the four games to really get them in shape for the regular season. That's when we're going to find out who this team really, truly is.
I'm kind of glad you mentioned the how they don't go as hard in training camp as they used to in terms of contact.
Well, dude, back in the 70s, they had six preseason games and a seventh because one team would play a bunch of college all-stars.
And well, not to mention the fact that teams used to go, you know, 2 days right from the get-go in training camp, damn near every day. I remember a couple years ago when the Rams were on Hard Knocks. They showed the difference between modern-day training camps and training camps from like the 80s and the early 90s.
Shit, go back to Gruden's first camp when he came to the Bucs.
Oh yeah.
John Lynch in their Super Bowl DVD said, "This guy is full tilt all day."
Yeah. Well, the reason why I bring up the Rams is because they showed how, you know, teams want to, you know, keep these guys in good shape and not, you know, ding them up too badly during practice. And then they showed some NFL films presentation, you know, like an old clip from like 1991 from the Rams training camp that year. They were going full tilt, two-a-days, first day of camp. I mean, they were beating the shit out of each other. And then, of course, the Rams went 3-13 that year.
Well, I mean, you're seeing a lot of soft tissue injuries, you know, lately.
Well, and that comes from, I think, let's face it, these guys are bigger, faster, stronger than they've ever been.
And they're kind of a little bit babied. Well, compared to the early 2000s, late 90s, you know, the two-a-days like you mentioned, players nowadays are kind of babied. So when they do get into full tilt action, I feel they're more likely to get injured.
Well, that plays a part into it, I think. But you also have to figure, like I said, because of the fact that they're bigger and faster and stronger, you know, those tendons don't hold up quite as well when you're absolutely jacked out of your mind. You're going to suffer some more of those tendon injuries, soft tissue injuries. Those have become more commonplace. You know, it's almost basically become part of the way of training camp and preseason. Is your main goal is just get the hell out of there without any serious injuries. And speaking of which, we've already seen that, you know, in a couple of other instances elsewhere. Look at the Redskins. Darius Geis, their, you know, star running back who was expected.
A rookie
that, you know, that's a kid that was called a steal by many people because they got him in the second round. He's already torn his ACL, done for the year.
Hunter Henry from the Chargers.
Yeah.
In OTAs.
I mean, we're, every year you see a few guys in non-contact drills, their ACL gets absolutely shredded. You know, it's crazy. There's always a handful of them every single preseason.
No, and it happens. And, I mean, injuries in sports are going to happen no matter baseball, hockey, football. We'll still say hockey is, you know, those guys are a lot tougher.
I agree. I might have a slight bias in that department, but yeah.
When you get hit in the face with a puck, put a cage on, get a couple stitches or some glue on your face and come back.
Shoot up some Novocaine.
Yeah, dude. I don't know too many football players, you know, whatever. The point is, it was one game. The good, the bad, the ugly. They won. They got out of there. They overcame some adversity to come back. They got it done. Speaking of getting it done or not getting it done, your Tampa Bay Rays, since the month ticked over to August, are 4-4. They're still one game over 500. If you would have told me with all the moves they made, and we've said this before on this very show, with all the moves they made, if you would have told me this team was going to be one game over 500 after the All-Star break, I might have thought about getting you institutionalized in a mental hospital. Is Charger still around?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah. I remember those commercials from like the 90s. If you need help, go to Charger.
I completely forgot about that. That's like a flashback to what, the 90s, late 80s, something
like
that?
Dude, I could throw a flashback, but you'd hate me for it.
Want another Roberto Aguayo one?
No.
Anders Lindbach?
No.
Kenyatta Walker?
No. It's not sports related, but it'll get stuck in your head.
Oh, jeez.
This is the song that never ends. It just goes on and on, my friend. People started singing it, not knowing what it was, and they'll continue singing it forever just because this is the song that never ends.
What you're hearing, ladies and gentlemen, is Trevor Grout's true 10-year-old form come to life. I've always joked that he's a 10-year-old in a 36-year-old's body, and now we have audio proof.
No, you want no 10-year-old in a 36-year-old's body? Motherfucker, Alf is coming back.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Fuck you, get out of my studio, which is also my living room.
Look, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed Alf back in the day, but I don't know.
GTFO.
Oh, shut up. Can we get some new fucking ideas for TV and movies,
no,
please?
No, Magnum P.I. is coming back. I'm stoked about that. Freaking other shows that are coming back, I'm fucking stoked. I like nostalgia. The only show they cannot touch is the A-Team. Don't touch the A-Team.
Well, they already made the movie.
And that doesn't count. That's a movie.
Okay, fair enough. But still, it's...
And that was Liam fucking Neeson as Hannibal. Bradley Cooper as Face. Quentin Rampage Jackson as B.A. Baracus. And Charlita, the crazy son of a bitch from District 9 and all that shit, as Murdoch.
Yeah. I mean, look, that movie, it was okay. It wasn't anything special. I mean, some things...
It wasn't the worst thing you've ever seen.
No, I've seen a lot worse. But at the same time, you got to be careful with nostalgia.
You do.
Because, I mean, sometimes it works out, other times it doesn't. You know one show I actually would not mind seeing make a comeback?
Choose your words wisely.
Married with Children.
There's talk.
I could get behind that.
The only problem is Ed O'Neill is currently on Modern Family.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's a very big show, and he's making a lot of money.
Yeah, that's difficult to walk away from.
But, okay. See, this is why we get off on tirades. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. We just get thrown off. So, since the month ticked to August, the Tampa Bay Rays are 4-4. They begin a three-game series this weekend, Friday, against Toronto, in Toronto, and then go to New York and Boston. I mean, you look at the teams they've lost to. They beat the Angels both games they played them in the month of August. Actually, they swept them going back to the final game in July. They lost all three against the White Sox, who are currently, come on, 41-73. Nearly 32 games under 500.
Well, at least they took two out of three from Baltimore at the Trop. of course, that came on the heels of them damn near getting swept up in Baltimore at the tail end of July.
Baltimore's 35-80.
Oh, yeah, they're the worst team in Major League Baseball. And
45 games under 500.
And I've mentioned on this show that the American League, as we know, is incredibly top-heavy. I mean, really, it's...
It's like Pam Anderson.
Yeah, exactly. It's the Red Sox, it's the Yankees, it's the Astros, and then it's everybody else.
No, it is. And I mean, the Rays had their chance. They had their opening. That opening's gone. Now, is the future looking bright with guys like Jake Bowers, Christian Arroyo, Willy Adames, Joey Wendell? Sure, absolutely.
How about the moves they made at the deadline? I mean, they've been lauded for their move in trading Chris Archer.
Chris Archer, yes, okay. I still don't agree with the Wilson Ramos trade.
That's fair. I think that's pretty fair as well, but I
still
think...
You need a veteran catcher to guide these young pitchers.
Yes, absolutely. You really do. But that, let's face it, that's kind of been the Rays' MO over the last almost a year or so, is offload the veterans, you know, stock up on prospects and youngsters and guys that are, let's face it, a little bit cheaper. That way, you know, they've can get their farm system built up and basically just build towards the future, because that's been the team's MO for quite some time, and it's especially been the case over the last year or so.
Yeah, I mean, Gonnar's Longo, Archer. I mean, Kiermaier, everybody loves this guy, but he can't stay healthy.
Well, not to mention...
He's arguably the best center fielder in baseball, and it's proof that he's won two or three gold gloves and a platinum glove. But he can't stay on the fucking field, and he barely hits the fucking... He barely hits 250.
That's what I was going to get at, is that as great as he is defensively, he's been a liability at the plate for the most part.
We're going to call him the outlaw now because he ripped off the organization for that contract.
I saw someone make a joke on Twitter that they should just make Kiermaier the designated fielder instead of the designated hitter.
Ha ha! That's actually pretty funny.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty clever.
I can't
take credit for it.
I think he's gotten hurt less in the field than he has running the base paths.
Is that right?
I think so. I mean, I can't go back and, you know, pull up his injury history. Probably could. It's probably somewhere. Some 45-year-old virgin probably has it somewhere, because he's living in his mom's basement eating Pop-Tarts and playing Fortnite. But regardless, the things these Rays are doing, if Kevin Cash doesn't get some consideration, not finalist, but a consideration for manager of the year, that'll be a damn shame. Paul Molitor, the manager for the Twins, they're actually thinking about doing the opener, like the Rays.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, if they were to somehow get into the playoffs, then I think
the Rays are not getting into the playoffs.
They're not. But I mean,
at what he's done with the little bit he has.
That's what I'm getting at. I mean, but in order for him to actually win manager of the year, to be a playoff.
No, I'm not saying he's going to win.
Right.
Consideration.
And as he should get consideration for it. I'm in full agreement with you.
And you should get consideration, Brooks, for how good of a tweeter you are.
I have my moments. What can I say?
And you can follow him at?
BrooksRoland82.
I suck as a tweeter. I am horrible.
You're not horrible. You just don't tweet enough.
But my gift game is tops.
Gift game is good.
My gift game is tops. But you can follow me at TrevorG_Scrum. Follow the Scrum Sports at The Scrum Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Hit up thescrumsports.com. Once again, the guy who does our intros for us, part of the amazing band I Am One. You can find them, I, the letter M, the number one, band.bandcamp.com. Go listen to their music. Go listen to Waiting to Tell You, the official theme of the Scrum Sports. If you need any graphic work done, any logos, hit up our buddy Rob Melendez at ConceptArt76 on Twitter. Let him know we sent you. He's a good dude. But that does it for us this week. I mean, great show. Hit us up on Twitter this week. You know, if there's something we didn't talk about or you want us to talk about, let us know. We love fan interaction, especially when you troll Brooks. I especially love when you troll Brooks.
And if you have any questions for us that you'd love for us to answer on the show, hit us up with the hashtag ScrumSportsUnfiltered.
I like it. I like it. Let's get that shit trending.
There we go.
So that does it for us this week, guys. Once again, hit up the letter I, the letter M, the number one band.bandcamp.com, and hit up our buddy Rob Melendez over at, I don't even know the name of his company, as I'm such a horrible friend. Hit him up on Twitter, ConceptArt76 on Twitter. That does it for us. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy your weekend. If you're listening to us on Saturday, if you're listening to us on Sunday, if you're listening to us on Monday, yeah. Check out our YouTube page as well. I think I've shamelessly plugged everything I can. Oh, and coming soon, back to Lightning Power Play, the Scrum Sports Hockey Show. Stay tuned for that as well. We're excited as all hell for Lightning season. Can't wait for it to get back. And we will catch you on the flip side.